Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Welcome back to Inside Boxing Live. This is a product of John Boy Media. I am Dan Canobio. He is former world champion Chris Algieri. And Chris, let's get into it right away, my friend. We're a few days removed from Canelo Alvarez's unanimous decision win over John Ryder. A lot of people are saying that Canelo is washed. Chris, what are your biggest takeaways from Canelo's win over John Ryder?
Well, like I said, John Ryder was a lot tougher than people were giving him credit for. I think that UK guys knew how tough he was. I think certain people over here, I don't think globally he was that known. I definitely think he's a lot more known now. But listen, age is a real thing. And Canelo is starting to show a slight decline. I still think he's one of the best fighters in the world. But yeah, it's hard to refute that he is not a different guy than he was before.
Teddy Atlas, one-time boxing lover, now MMA guy, says that Canelo Alvarez showed a quote-unquote mental decline against John Ryder. And in addition to physical decline, he noted that he's making too much money. He's only throwing one punch at a time. He's unwilling to exchange because he's too worried about getting caught. I kind of agree with that. I mean, if you have two eyes, you can see the decline from Canelo. He's not the same guy we saw in 2019, 2020, and even the plant fight. Is it safe to say that Canelo's best days are behind him?
I mean, yeah, it is. But I don't necessarily agree with everyone who's saying like he's washed, or even what Teddy said, that he saw a mental decline. I didn't say he looked super sharp early. He got tired, definitely, at the end. The last couple of rounds, he definitely was not the even less of an output than he normally does. But listen, he looked sharp. He dominated the fight. John Ryder is a rough guy, tough guy. Did you see the size of that guy in there? Jeez, he Gorilla. Looked like, be in awesome shape. He lived up to the nickname Gorilla. And yeah, I mean, I was saying it all the time. It's not an easy guy. It's not an easy out. And that a lot of people were going to be wanting after the fight, because I thought Canelo was going to win. I thought that he was going to win fairly easily, but I think it was going to be an ugly fight. Listen, he dropped him at least once. I think that other knockdown should have been called a knockdown, which is more than I expected from Canelo. But I think Canelo from a few years ago gets the stoppage. And I think that's one of the major differences. He's degraded just enough that these guys who normally he would stop are going to make it to 12.
Canelo threw 38 punches a round, which is right on par with his career averages, landed 46% of his power, should have had two knockdowns in the fight. I mean, these are the types mm-hmm. of numbers and the types of things. Look what he did with that stadium too. These are the types of numbers that everyone in boxing would want and be the face of boxing like he is. It's interesting. It's interesting because there's a lot of piling on the guy. I feel like the higher we built him up, I do see this all the time in sports, especially in boxing. You build a guy up just to break him down. Like everywhere I turn, it's Canelo's done. I wouldn't favor him over this guy or Benavidez. I wouldn't favor him. People, I would favor him over everyone at 168. Would you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, favored. Yes. Does he beat everyone every time? No, I don't think so. But I was saying that before this fight. I was saying that, you know, before the Triple G fight too. I think that, you know, at 68, Benavidez is probably the toughest challenge right now. And I still think he could beat Benavidez, but it's looking harder and harder. And I think the more time that passes, the more dangerous Benavidez will get, because he's going to get more mature and get ready for these big fights. But yeah, I mean, he's still a great fighter. He still is the undisputed at 168 and should be.
Yeah. One thing too on Ryder, tough guy for sure.
Super tough.
I haven't seen someone get so much praise for losing 11 rounds. Because yeah. He is tough. Like, oh my God, the best performance of any British guy Canelo's faced. He simply just made it to the final bell. Yeah, he clipped Canelo a few times later on in the fight, but it's a fight. You know, Canelo's defense is deteriorating. Tough guy for sure, but I had never seen anything like this over the top praise for a guy that maybe won two rounds, maybe three if you're being generous.
I just said it 3 minutes ago. I the world didn't know how good he was. Now they know he's a tough guy. He's getting the praise that, because he was overlooked, you know, so I think a lot of it's overblown because they just didn't expect anything out of man. When I put out some videos saying that John Ryder's a tough fight, tough fighter, it's going to be a tough fight for Canelo. people were raking me over the coals. Look at this guy talking about Canelo's, you know, assistant that he's going to be fighting. This guy's this.
Dude, the best was one of them I saw. It's like, what does this guy know? And then someone replied, that's Chris Algieri. He's a former world champion.
Yeah, great.
Well, that's the thing. Like, our social media is like getting a bigger following. We're seeing more numbers and more views. So therefore, more comments, more crazy comments from fans. Like, what do these guys know? I love sifting through them. It's interesting, but there's always opinion on Canelo Alvarez. I will ask you last on this topic. The next fight, we're always moving on to the next one. It's either Bivol, in my opinion, or it's another, or Benavidez, or even someone who's ripping me apart was when I said I think Berlanga could be in the mix simply because he's with Matchroom. Canelo's next two fights, or Canelo's next fight is against who?
I think it's going to be Berlanga or Benavidez. I don't think the Bivol fight, as much as Canelo's talking about it, I don't think that's the move. I don't think that anyone around him thinks that's a good idea. And it just doesn't make as much sense for him to go back up to 75 now, then what, go back down to 68. It's just, I don't know. I don't listen. Canelo's crazy. He wants that legacy. I get it, but I don't see that happening next. I think Berlanga makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. No one's going to like me for this.
No,
he needs a standout performance. He needs, you know, he's got a record. He's got, the Puerto Rican background. He's popular. I don't know how popular he'll be in Vegas. You know, it's probably where they're going to fight. But listen, that's it's going to a win there, and especially a spectacular one from Canelo reinvigorates him. So yeah. I think they could use Berlanga for that.
Yeah, Errol Spence says that he should. He's not going to beat Bivol. He's not going to beat Beterbiev. He may not even beat Benavidez. Teddy Atlas says get him. Get Benavidez now before he deteriorates anymore. On to topic number two. Rolly Romero, let's go, is now fighting for the WBA 140-pound title. He got elevated once was the guy that he was supposed to fight, got popped. Alberto Puello popped for the same drugs that Ben was doing. That's serious. WBA did the right thing. I very rarely say that. WBA did the right thing, and they stripped Puello, and they elevated this fight between Romero and Ismael Barroso, who's 40 years old, and his photo that they used is scary. What are your thoughts on this, Chris? You're a former 140-pound champion. Are you willing and ready to welcome Rolly Romero to the club?
Absolutely not. I am absolutely livid about this. It's insane. Listen, I fought a defending world champion who was an absolute monster, the scariest guy in the division. I didn't fight for a vacant title against some nobody from Australia or from wherever. I fought the man. I thought the guy he was in fight of the year two fights prior. He went to the hometown of Mike Alvarado and destroyed him in front of his rabid fans. And his first defense was against me. I had to beat the man to become the man, become the champion. So I hate these vacant title guys who win these world titles against Ismael Barroso. I remember him from local shows in New York to 8 years ago. He's 40 years old.
He's a man.
And
he's
Romero 40. Romero has not fought at 40 yet. Not legitimately. Has not fought a legitimate 40-pounder.
No, this is his first fight at 140.
Barroso's a 35-pounder, and he's 40.
This is nuts.
Like, listen, he's a very tough guy. Don't get me wrong. Barroso had a very, very good, tough career early on, was always the B-side, upset a lot of prospects, saw a lot of tough guys, went across the pond a bunch of times, super, super tough guy, but hasn't been in a fight worth talking about in 5 years, and is 40 years old. And now Romero he's basically McGregor. He's just talked himself into big fights because he hasn't won anything major. I don't know. It's just insane to me.
No, it is infuriating from the meritocracy standpoint, something we always talk about on this show. Meritocracy does not exist in boxing. But what does exist is name recognition. What does exist is star power. I'm not saying that Rolly is this massive star, but he was part of a huge fight with Tank. He willed that into existence, and it looks like he has willed himself into a title shot. He's ranked fifth in the WBA. At 140, despite never fighting at 140, Chris, despite coming off of a loss, a knockout loss to Tank Davis. It's going to piss off a lot of people, but Rolly has this weird fan base, man. People are fascinated by the guy. Do I think he deserves a shot at 140? Obviously not. Am I excited to see if he wins, like what can come of it? Like matchups with Regis Prograere, matchups with Teofimo Lopez, or matchups at Ryan Garcia, or matchups at any of the guys at 140. I do think he plays a important role in boxing as like the kind of villain, but also like a fascinating guy that we want to see get iced. And like he has like crazy power. His fundamentals are horrible, but he has the power. Like he's interesting. he's fun. Like, Boston can use fun, but yes, it's kind of a joke that he's getting this title shot.
World champions aren't like that. That's not, I don't consider, you know, guys, fun. Yeah, fun. There's a bunch of fun guys, but they don't deserve to be world champ. They got to fight, they got to beat somebody for real. And has he beat a real guy yet?
I thought he lost to Jackson Arenas. He knocked out Yidget. No, he hasn't faced anyone. I mean, Tank's the best guy, in his resume. I think Barroso might be his number two.
Absolutely his number two. Absolutely his number two best opponent that he's fought, which is wild because he's light years away from Tank. So, I don't know.
But Rolly, this is crazy. Rolly has he's coming off of a 300-plus day layoff. 350 days ago, he fought Tank. Which is
350. How are you still ranked? If you haven't fought in a year?
Crazy. And how about this? Leading into the Tank fight, he was on a 300-day layoff. So I'm not a mathematician here. 650 days, two fights. Insane. Everything. None of this makes any sense. None of this adds up to a title shot. But who knows? He might even lose. We're diminishing Barroso. You know, Barroso's a guy.
I was thinking that, actually.
Right. He's won four in a row, Barroso. But not too long ago, he was getting pieced up. He got stopped by Akhmedov. He got stopped by Anthony Crolla. He's a high work rate, good body puncher, but he's 40 with a suspect chin. Like, it's not like a given that Rolly's going to win. But
Barroso, he's also hot and cold. Like sometimes he's a world beater and he upsets somebody and then he gets stopped by a guy that doesn't knock anybody out. So it's you never know what's gonna show up. But on the other side of 40, it's hard to imagine that he's gonna be able to, you know, pull one of his best career victories out of the pocket.
Wouldn't that be crazy? Ismael Barroso is a champion at 140.
I would be pissed about that too. It's like, how do you know? Like,
yeah, not all champions are built the same in boxing. It's not all champions are built the same. You have to be a real fan to know how these guys won their belts. But 140 is insane. Progre's now with Matchroom. Matias is a free agent. I'm hearing he's meeting with Matchroom. That changes the whole discussion we had for a while with Progre to go into Matchroom. If Matias can go there too, then you got yourself a bona fide explosive fight at 140. T.O. Taylor is next month. It's a fun division. Like 135, 140 are carrying the sport right now.
I'm getting more excited about T.O. Taylor. I'm like the closer we get, it's weird how those kind of fights are. Like we've been really lucky this year that we're getting these fights made with like a lot of time before they happen. Which is good and bad because then they fall out, but also, you know, you get to kind of marinate and get excited about it. I'm getting more and more excited about that one as we get closer.
Seasoning, Chris. You're a seasoning guy.
Seasoning.
Yeah, remember? Seasoning this way turns to that. We got to make a shirt. Like, seasoning leads to cash.
One sign would be that, and then the other one would be like,
Speaking of Teofimo is in the news. He's got a fight coming up with Josh Taylor. He is very willing to do interviews, and he's very willing to say crazy things. His latest, you be the judge, Chris. Teofimo says that Devin Haney doesn't have that dog in him to beat Lomachenko. He says Lomachenko will get you tired. Even though Devin has conditioning for it, you got to commit. You can't just play defense with Loma. You can't. You got to attack by all means necessary, and I don't think Devin got that dog in him to do it. Do you agree or disagree with Teofimo Lopez's comments?
First off, I love the crazy stuff that Teo talks. I think it's a lot of fun. I think he brings a lot of it. He backs it up because he can really fight.
Not all the things, but
this one in particular is very concise, and there's a lot to it, and it makes a lot of sense why he's saying it, because if Loma wins, it makes his victory against Loma look that much better.
Yep.
Of course. Also, he's been in the ring with Loma. So hearing from someone who's a former opponent, Tang, he gets you tired, which is very true. And you can see that. I mean, he makes you think. And that's really what I think he means is the thinking that Lomachenko puts a lot of mental and psychological pressure on you. That can tire you out big time. And even though Devin has shown to be tight up top and also in great condition, it's interesting to see if Loma is able to affect him and get in that head of his. But do I agree with what he's saying? I see what he's coming from. But my argument is going to be that Haney might not have to have the dog in him. If he keeps the dog out of the fight, he wins the fight hands down.
Right.
I think the only way for Loma to win is to get the dog out of him. But Haney's very good at keeping the dog on a leash. And if he can keep the dog on the leash and keep Loma at a distance, then he doesn't need to show his dog yet.
Love that. I think Teofimo was trying to say, like, he can't win with just a jab. But let's keep in mind Tio's win came over Lomachenko in 2020. Lomachenko has shown signs of slowing down, just like Canelo and just like some of the other guys that are
every human being who's ever lived.
Yes, it's part of life, unfortunately, except me and Blitzball, but we won't go there. I'm back on top, bro. Grand Slam. No big deal.
Old man Dan
is back, baby. Lomachenko is not the same fighter, man. He was struggling with Jermaine Ortiz. He's been in and out of the ring, you know, over in Ukraine. There's been going on there. Like, will he be able to push Haney and give Haney some of these awkward moments where Haney has to show that he is a dog or he has that dog in him?
He may have to. The thing about that is Haney has such a size advantage. He's so much bigger. He doesn't have the power advantage the way that Teofimo did. I was in the room when they fought in the bubble, Teofimo and Lomachenko. The heat that Teofimo was throwing that night, my goodness. He had Loma thinking because the power that was swinging by him. Listen, I've been in fights where a guy swing, left hook just misses me, and I go, oh boy, I can't get hit by that. And it seemed like Lomachenko was going through that process in that fight because those punches were really, really coming by with heavy heat and very, very powerful. Haney's not that type of fighter, but he's a very difficult style to defeat because he's so big, he's long, he's very quick, he's got good jabs, and he does not mind making it a stinker. He will fight at a distance.
Don't care.
Does not care. A win is a win.
Here's an interesting thing, though. Does he care? Because there's a lot. His name is now being brought up all the time now because of Tank. He's being linked to Tank. He's being linked to Shakur. He's being linked as the next thing in boxing. He's won fights with just his jab, and he's been not that it's right. He's been booed or not booed, but just like, all right, yeah, you won, but okay, it wasn't exciting. Do you think that's going to creep up into this in the back of his mind? Will he deviate a little bit from his game plan and be like, I want to put an exclamation point. I want to stop Lomachenko.
I don't think he should. It might, but I don't see that. I think he's going to be smart because a win against Lomachenko is a win against Lomachenko. Think about it. Teofimo beat him by one round. It basically came down to that 12th round. It was completely, I thought it was absolutely even until that 12th round. And all the momentum was in Lomachenko's hands. Teofimo put on a brilliant 12th round and won the fight in my eyes. You know, he just barely beat him too. So a win against Lomachenko is a win against Lomachenko. And that one was arguable. A lot of people still argue that. And so Lomachenko wins. Lomachenko certainly thinks he won.
Dude, did
fight.
You know he went back and recounted the, him and his dad recounted the punches and said we were wrong.
Lomachenko?
His dad.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all.
I was like, I've done
fighter
meetings.
I did fighter meetings. I did fire meetings with him when he fought Nakatani. And he was livid. I mean, mad.
Still.
That he had the loss. And that was months later, you know, after shoulder surgery and everything. It was like a year later. And he's like, he's going around the room. He's like, you had it wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't forget. I don't blame him. You fighters, you take these losses pretty hard. I can't wait for this fight, man. I'm talking about fights that we're looking forward to. T.O. Taylor and Haney Lomachenko, May 20th over on ESPN. You'll be there. Yeah, it's interesting. I think Haney, I want him to get the credit he deserves. If he beats Lomachenko, I don't want to hear that Lomachenko was old. Don't want to hear that he was past it. Lomachenko's still top 4 or 5 in the lightweight division. It's going to be a great fight. I cannot wait for that. Last topic, your favorite topic, Chris. Jake Paul is back, baby. Jake Paul versus Nate Diaz. They squared off for the first time this week in a press conference in Dallas. Very awkward press conference. A lot went on in it. Nate Diaz left to go to the bathroom mid-press conference. Jake Paul said he is the ass of boxing. He said, Canelo's the head. Gervonta is
face.
The tits.
No, he said he's face. The face.
Gervonta is the tits, and I'm the ass. I actually thought it was a very funny line. A lot of people loved
it. Clever.
Very clever.
Very clever.
Jake Paul also says that he almost considered retiring after his loss to Tommy Fury. Are you interested in this fight? Do you think Jake Paul can get a W, or do you think Nate Diaz really stops this train?
Am I interested in this fight? No. I'm not really sure why anyone is, honestly.
I am.
At this point. He's obviously regressed. He's going back to fighting non-boxers. He tried his hand with the boxer. He lost. Now he's, all right, I'll go back to 40 plus year old MMA guys. But I do like me some Nate Diaz. I like him. I like him as a character. I like him as a fighter. He's got a lot of dog in him, but I don't know. I don't know anything about Nate and his boxing. I know that he was a sparring partner for Andre Ward many years ago, but what has he been doing lately?
Yeah. It's kind of keep going to back to that.
Doesn't fight very often. I don't know how serious he's been training wise. I mean, and listen, I'm an older guy too, and it takes a long time. Like, it's not like a regular training camp. I got 2 months, I'm good. Nah, when you're closer to 40, you need like 4 months and like dedicated time. And I'm not sure that Diaz has been taking that this seriously, especially in a sport that he's never done.
Yeah, he's going to make a lot of money. He's going to make probably the most he's ever made in a fight, maybe outside of the McGregor ones. Yeah, I don't know. They keep bringing up Andre Ward. As you know, I was training with Andre Ward. He said I should have went pro as a boxer when I was 18, but I went the MMA route. Obviously, that worked out for him. Maybe not monetarily. Probably would have made more as a boxer. Who knows? He probably made. He went further in MMA than I think he probably would have gone in boxing, but he made less money. That's a whole different discussion. But Jake Paul, he's at least saying straight up, like, listen, I thought about quitting after the loss of Tommy Fury. I was embarrassed. I was questioning, why am I even doing this? And he's like, you know what? I could have done a rematch with Fury, but the Diaz fight is going to do more numbers. He is a businessman. He's in this because he wants to make the most money possible. It's part of this whole... It's part of this whole slice of boxing, this whole avenue that I like, is that they just go from one big event to the next. Like in real boxing, Jake Paul probably takes a tune-up fight and then he works his way back up. He's like, nah, forget that. I'm going for the next biggest event I can possibly make, and it's going to be with Nate Diaz, and it's probably going to do numbers because everyone knows Nate Diaz and everyone knows Jake Paul. And a lot of people out there think Nate Diaz can knock Jake Paul out because we haven't seen that. We haven't seen Jake Paul flattened.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very hard on Jake Paul. Don't get me wrong. I respect the hell out of him for what he's been able to do and the way he goes about it. And yeah, I think you hit it on the head when you said real boxing. A real boxer would have gone and had a tuna fight. This isn't real boxing. This is, you know, as much as he wants to pretend, and he does train hard. I know that he trains for real, but these aren't real boxing fights. They're spectacles. And listen, that's fine. Make that money, man. I appreciate it. You're gonna end your professional boxing career like 5-3 or 5-2 or, you know, 6-2 or whatever, but you're going to make more money than 99.9% of the guys that we've seen in our generation. So
I don't mind it when the boxing schedule is good. Like, we've had such a great year. Yeah. It's going to be even better the next 6 months. And if these fights can supplement what we're getting, like best versus best matchups in quote unquote real boxing, then I have no problem with these spectacles. When they become the main focal point of the boxing schedule, is when it's like, oh, that's not good. I mean, that's not good for the sport.
That happened in the fall, right? When Jake Paul was fighting Tommy, rather, because all those good fights fell out. We had so many good fights fall at the end of last year. It was like Crawford Spence was off.
I think that was Woodley, because the Fury fight was in February. But I know you're saying it was last year where Paul was the main focus point.
Yeah, it was like we were all talking about it, like, oh man, it's like we have to because there's not really anything going on. And like you said, like this, like when you mentioned this, that this fight, I was like, oh, I didn't even know about the press conference. I wouldn't watch it anyway. But like, I'm not interested. I don't really care that much because we have good fights going on. We got actually important things to talk about.
Yeah, we'll see how it does at the box office because that's like pretty much.
I'm curious.
I'm curious
too. Is going to do numbers like he says. I mean,
he says that his fight with Fury did more than Ryan and Tank. He says Ryan Tank didn't do 1.2. It did 800,000. Me and Fury did 850. It's still pretty good numbers. I mean, this one I think should do under. I think the Fury fight was like a perfect storm. It was February afternoon, Sunday. There was no sports on. Football was done. Baseball hadn't started yet. March Madness hadn't started yet. It was on ESPN. That fight was a perfect storm. This one, I don't know. It's in the middle of summer, but they are big names, and we'll continue to talk about
it. Listen, Jake Paul's actually staying busy too. Like, it's going to be his third fight in less than a calendar year. Which, yeah, I appreciate that. It's cool.
He did.
Yeah, it was the Silva fight. Sorry, that's what we were talking about earlier.
Silva. There you go. He did fire BJ Flores. BJ Flores
is
out. Shane Mosley in back in.
I thought it was an addition. I didn't know it was a replacement. Okay.
There we go. Good show. I enjoyed it. A lot of topics. We're hitting them all. That's really it. That's all we got for you folks. Hope you enjoyed this show. Remember to protect yourselves at all times. Keep those hands up. Stay out of the DMs. We're out.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.